Well, grace and peace to each of you as we gather this morning in chapel gathering. We have the unique privilege of having a capstone presentation as a part of embedded into our worship service. And before Joan speaks, Nate will introduce her in the rhythm of our time. So enter into worship and be present to what God is going to invite us into today. Pray with me for a moment. Lord, we invite your presence and spirit into this place, into our hearts and minds. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see. Where you are at work, bless Joan as she continues to share what is on her heart. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Delight in God's love. This is from Psalm 36. Verses 5 through 8 from the NRSV translation. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. In this prayer, David uses what he can see, the sky, the mountains, and the oceans, to illustrate what he can't see, the Lord's unfailing love, his faithfulness to his people, his righteousness, and his commitment to justice, and the fact that God daily feeds his creation, both people and animals alike, clearly demonstrates the depths of his love for all that he has made. In fact, God loves to allow his people to experience the river of delights. Take some time today to see the world around you and the simple elements of your daily life from David's vantage point. Our God is very great, and his signature is everywhere. Let us bow before him in worship and awe.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levavecha, uv'chol nafshecha, uv'chol me'odecha. V'hayu hadavarim ha'ele, asher anokim etzavecha, hayom al levavecha, v'shinantam levanecha, v'dibarta bam v'shivtecha bevetecha, uv'leftecha v'aderech, uv'shach v'cha, uv'kumecha, וקשרתם לאות על ידיך, והיו לתותפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך וביש עריך.
If you're a student in the MDiv program and you've tracked your curriculum ahead, you are aware that as you get to the end of your last year of studies, there is the Formation and Missional Leadership class, and it includes a capstone integration project. That's where we are this morning. There are 12 students preparing for graduation who will be delivering presentations from capstone integration projects between now and the first week in April. So let me introduce Joan Rainsberger, our presenter for this morning. Joan's work history includes over 30 years as a legal secretary before she took up college. Work as a legal secretary that included working in the legal counsel's office for the CIA, and also being a legal secretary and office manager in several law firms. And so after that 30-year career, she took up another career as a student, earned a degree from Lord Fairfax Community College, and also a degree in preaching ministry from Lincoln Christian College. Taking all that on, I think family was probably pretty important. Her husband Dan is with us today. Welcome, Dan. So glad you're here. We have a quotation here from your wife who says, "You have been her true cheerleader." It's been an important role that you have filled for her. There were some other adjectives here that I haven't included, things like beautiful and wonderful, as we describe two adult daughters, Candace and Deborah, living in Florida with their husbands. Both of them have been in Christian ministry. And five grandchildren, all in their teens. Must be a lively household when everybody comes home, including a set of twins. Also a stepson, Michael, who's a musician. Joan is currently co-pastor of First Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Winchester, Virginia. She works in pastoral care, church growth, worship, discipleship, Christian ed. And in addition to that role, she conducts women's spiritual renewal services that enhance the spiritual journey of women. I think we're going to hear some more about how that plays out. I've asked Joan if she'd share a little bit what her plans are for after graduation. She says to continue her pastoral ministry at the First Christian Church, along with the women's services in other areas. Ask if there's anything else I should introduce in the introduction. She said, well, she's been at EMS for 7 years, and she's looking forward to graduation. But right now, we look forward to hearing from you, Joan. Would you please come and share with us what God's given you?
It's wonderful to be here this morning with all of you. Thank you for coming to worship our God this morning. Pray, Father, that I would like to open up in prayer. So let's pray. Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart convey your message today that will be full of encouragement and a freshness, one that will inspire all of those ears who wish to hear. Amen. The words from Moses, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Words from Moses about a God bigger than life itself. Words that echoed in a young girl's life that resounded in reverence on your face before a God whose face I could not see, but saw in the shining face and white hair of Charlton Heston as Moses. It was a time of the classic big movie screen movies, and the words of Cecil Bill B. DeMille. Words from the Bible that I heard more from the movies. The Ten Commandments, Samson and Delilah, Ben-Hur, The Robe. You know, this is about a 13-year-old girl who was caught up in the awesomeness of a holy God. At that time, it was about 1956, and I was in a People's Drug Store in Georgetown, Washington, D.C., sitting at the counter having a Cherry Coke with my little cousin who was only 8 years old. And she and I were having this Coke sitting at the counter, and all of a sudden everything got dark. And People's Drug Store had these big windows, and there was no doubt that it was dark out on the street. And as I sat there, I said, "Mary Jane, Mary Jane, it's a miracle. It's a miracle." And she looked at me and wondered, "What in the world is wrong with you?" So I get up and I drag her outside, out on the big open area of the concrete that they always had for People's Drug Store. And the street lights had come on and it was dark. And people were walking by, and I was looking up and saying, "It's a miracle, it's a miracle." And they all started looking up. And I said, "This is the day, Mary Jane. It's 3:00 in the afternoon, and Jesus has died on the cross." And she looked at me, and the people looked at me, and I said, "This is a miracle. This is a God bigger than life." After years passed and first husband who passed away, two little girls, not living as the Lord would call me to live. But after repentance, God took me not to the Gospel of John, but he took me to the Old Testament, reminding me that he was the God bigger than life. And basically he was saying to me, Joan, this is who I am. And this was the beginning of my journey 18 years ago. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now go with me to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Then the scribe said to Jesus, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him, there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to them, you are right, and are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. May the Lord give us understanding of his holy word this day. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your being. Moses saying, this is important. Moses was saying, you are to love God with your whole self and with your whole being. Do this. And Jesus affirms it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, my emotions, and my will. With all your soul, the soul who is who I am. Your mind with understanding, and I use my mind to help me to discover this understanding and to be open and to allow myself to be transformed. And then with all your strength, that whole being, the love that is a commitment, what one's attitude should be, a response of the total self, which only the word love can express. It's paramount. It's a component that helps us to keep the greatest commandment that drives us to love others. It's an extraordinary love for God, a love committed to him. And why should we make this commitment to him? Because God loved us first. God not only calls men, God calls children like Samuel, and God calls women. My journey to answer God's call began going to school after 40 years of not being sitting at a desk. And then I took my first test after 40 years. Now that was scary. And then my husband Dan, he agreed to let me go. For he said, I can't say no, honey, because I'm afraid of what God might do if I do. I began in a community college, transferred to Lincoln Christian College, a branch of the Christian Church, Churches of Christ. They believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, not in women pastors or women serving communion. I believed I was called to be a minister and to preach to women. So I asked them if they would let me in the preaching ministry program. And my husband and I sat around a conference table, and there were six professors there. Remember that, honey? Yeah. And they were trying to decide what they were going to do with me, because it wasn't part of their program to have a woman in the preaching ministry discipline. So they all got up, left Dan and I sitting at the table, went into another room, and they had a big conference in there. They were gone about 20 minutes. They came back and they said, okay, we'll let you do it. And so they did. And so I graduated from Lincoln Christian College, the only woman that had graduated in that program. But you know, that wasn't the point that I was the only woman. What was the point was that I was doing what God had called me to do, and He softened the hearts and let it happen. Now, I've struggled with those scriptures that women are to teach, not to teach or preach, that we must be silent, 1 Corinthians and in 1 Timothy. Yet I knew that God had called me to preach and teach. And then I interned at a Disciples of Christ church. I hadn't finished college yet in my last semester. And they were wonderful to me. And so I graduated. After I graduated, they kept me on. They couldn't pay me, but they kept me on. And I stayed because I knew God had wanted me there at First Christian Church. In my struggle, yet the Holy Spirit confirmed in my heart, and as He confirms in the hearts of women who believe that they have been called by God. And the Lord proved it to me through His still small voice, through my laments for understanding, through His faithfulness to provide, and through others who have seen in me a calling. What's that driving force that gives you courage to keep going in view of the scriptures that say, be silent? It was my love for God, the God who is bigger than life. In Deuteronomy, Moses says, memorize those words, recite them to your children, talk to them about me at home, when away, lie down, when you lie down, when you rise, bind them on your hand and on your forehead, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. There is where I have held my faith, and knowing that God had called me. How can a woman be encouraged to accept the call? Well, my heart and passion is to help open the doors for women to do just that. As the Holy Spirit confirms in their hearts the confidence of the call. The audience is women in the congregation, as well as women who have received a call from God. Women who believe they are being called, as well as women from different denominations, along with pastors who minister to women. I have a women's traveling ministry that is entitled Women's Spiritual Renewal Services. And I have been doing them for about 8 years. The past couple of years, I've been a little busy in seminary, so I haven't done as much. But I plan to get back to that. And I will use this opportunity and this context to minister to them regarding a calling. These services are held at a host church. I send out a flyer to the host church, and they send the flyer around to all these different churches, that different denominations, inviting the women to come to a women's service. And I come with a group of women, a praise team, and we come to this church, and we bring a service to them. And I come down between them, and I talk to them in a dialogue, and I give them a little hominy. And you know, I begin to connect with them, and they begin to tell their stories. They begin to share. They begin to talk about this God that is bigger than life. It is an opportunity for me to talk to them about God's calling in their life. And It's a resource that I can use not only in speaking to them orally, but also in the books that I have mounted up about women in ministry that I add to my repertoire of information for them. I hope this project will make a pathway that may open the doors for women in all types of leadership in the church. And you know, there are those scriptures that support all who are in Christ to speak the gospel. It's 1 Peter about the priesthood of believers and your chosen people. It's 1 Corinthians 12, the spirit that gives to anyone, not just one of us. Joel, and that I will pour out my spirit on all people, both men and women, sons and their daughters. Galatians, no longer Jew or Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are heirs according to the promise. There's so many challenges that women have to face as they accept the call. Different from men. They don't really have to justify their call as far as scripture. But in the midst of these challenges, the women have to face what drives them to make this commitment. It is because of the love of God. My project will present examples of other women and their experiences through historical records as well as interviews, where women can share their circumstances, their situations in answering the call, that they can share their challenges. We as ministers need to help women find their call by listening to them and documenting and sharing their testimonies, because some of these courageous and precious women, servants of God, that it is for them to be assisted by others who believe in their calling. In addition, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit in them. There are testimonies of some women in the Bible, testimonies of the women in early church, like Saint Macrina in the 14th century, who was the sister of the Cappadocian fathers, who brought spiritual enlightenment to her brothers, taught her mother, and represented a spirituality that was unbelievable to her family and also to all the women who were with her. And then there are the women of the 19th century, contemporary clergy women of today in the 21st century. But what about the women in the Old Testament and the New Testament? What about Deborah the judge, Phoebe, a deacon and deliverer, of the most important theological Christian letter, the Romans? Priscilla or Prisca, who partnered with her husband with Paul to serve Jesus. The woman at the well who witnessed to a town, could this be the Christ? And Mary Magdalene at the resurrection after seeing the risen Christ, I have seen the Lord. And she took that message to the disciples. And so for every woman who is answering the call, she has seen the Lord in her life. These women in the Bible serve God against odds and their culture. They were courageous, as women are today, all who love God in extraordinary ways, full of commitment and with their whole being, their heart, their soul, their mind, and with their strength. And they couldn't keep quiet about what they saw and they heard, despite the culture that in many instances did not accept them. They proclaimed the kingdom of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a love extraordinaire. Consider four contemporary clergy women that I interviewed. They were from different faith traditions, Lutheran, Disciples of Christ, Methodist. They all shared their concern for answering the call at first. Three of them believed that they had been called when they were between the ages of 11 and 13. Sounds a little familiar for me. It seems I'm not unusual. But their call was made more clearly to them as time went on. Contemporary women talked about their call, agreeing that their answering the call was motivated by their love of God and God's love for them, that extraordinary love that gave them the courage to do what God was calling them to do. One of the clergy women said to me, the best way she had found to answer the concerns of those who did not feel women should be in leadership, to preach or teach, is to do a good job in preaching and teaching, that others would see that she was competent and that this would encourage young women also to answer the call. The call to serve a great God, a God bigger than life, awesome and good, is for all of those who are in Christ. For we live and move and have our being. Loving God with our whole being is the catalyst that moves one to answer the call. As God calls men, children, and women, may we each have a love extraordinaire for God, who created us, and for his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us. For my sisters in Christ, may the Lord give us strength and courage, always to serve him with confidence and joy. Amen. Now go in peace to love the Lord in extraordinary love, to serve him. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.